all is I discovered that there were some items in the state government budget division bill that were policy items that should have been reviewed by our committee. So rather than pull the entire bill into committee, I decided we would just have a committee meeting. We'd review those items, even if they weren't officially in front of us, which is kind of not quite the case with this bill, because we do have 1584 in front of us, but it's also in the state government finance bill. There was another provision in the state government bill which had to do with a special lottery game for a veterans program called Support Our Troops, and that will be changed on the floor, which is why we're not hearing it. The $850,000 provision, Senator Saxog is going to be changing the allocation of the $840,000 provision in the bill from a forecast-based appropriation into an ongoing fund to become a straight general fund appropriation to the Support Our Troops account and designated for veterans Monday on the floor. He feels it would be best to do this because after further review and discussion, it's not certain that the revenues generated from the special scratch game ticket that the Department of Veterans Affairs proposed will reach that amount. Rather than take that risk, he's suggesting this change, and this does not change the target of the bill, and Veterans Affairs will still receive the money. So given that it no longer involves the lottery and a special scratch game for the lottery, I didn't feel like we had to hear it. But I did want to make members aware of why that's not here. The other thing that came up in DHS is the commissioner wanted to add a deputy commissioner position, and that, again, should be reviewed by the policy committee, but the issue came up late, and they wanted to do it as an amendment to the omnibus bill. We were informed of that, and we thought we would ask the commissioner to come in and explain the rationale. But since Senator Rest is here, why don't we start with her bill, which repeals the Sunset Act. Senator Rest, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate file.
And I just want to announce that quorum is here, present.
Representative Winkler introduced the House bill a few days ago and sent the Senate jackets over to me, and as a courtesy, I introduced the bill. Meanwhile, as you indicated, Senator Saxog included it in the State Department's Finance Division. Mm-hmm. That's the extent of my involvement in it.
That's the extent of your involvement in it. Okay, so
I mean, I have opinions about it, but that's the extent of my involvement.
Well, why don't you tell us your opinions?
I think it's a good bill, and it's a good idea to get rid of the Sunset Commission. I think it was a mistake to start it. I believe that it is the duty of standing committees to review the agencies that are within their jurisdictions, and if any of them are obsolete or programs are no longer functioning, that the political will of the legislature should be expressed through the standing committees to repeal their existence. And we've done that. This committee in the past has done that by, you know, making a call for those agencies or programs, combing the statutes, those that, you know, have been put in the statute but they've never met or things like that, and repealing them. In addition, there is obviously the bipartisan bicameral legislative audit commission that, at the direction of members of the legislature, and we're going through that process right now, does review programs, agencies, et cetera, in the program evaluation division, and then also conducts financial audits. So the legislature already has an oversight group, a legislative commission. Equal number of Democrats and Republicans. The chairmanship of that goes back and forth between the Senate and the House on every biennium. So,
Senator Ress, do you know what the Sunset Commission did last year? Or who was on it, or if they worked during the fall?
The co-chairs of it, as I recall, were Senator Bonhoff and then Representative Kiffmeyer, and now Senator Kiffmeyer is a member of the Legislative Audit Commission, so she's come over here and now has a role within it, within the Legislative Audit Commission. As I recall, they reviewed some smaller agencies and ended up moving combative sports somewhere else, like a two-person office. They spent a lot of time on these smaller agencies, using up a lot of energy in these smaller agencies, and in the end, they didn't sunset any of them.
Mr. Chair.
And I don't know anything more about it than that.
I understand there's some concern about this being repealed because the next agencies in the last go-round, there were fairly minor agencies that were reviewed. Like you said, you mentioned the Combat Sports Commission, some health licensing boards, the Council on Black Minnesotans, some kind of minor small agencies, but that there's some really huge agencies that are coming up the next go-round.
Madam Chair, I really don't know what the schedule is.
Also, I would wonder what the budget is for this Sunset Advisory. Is this part of the LCC?
It's $139,000 that is canceled in the State Department's bill.
Madam Chair.
Here. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On 6R of your this deal shows a sunset review, Group 2, Group 3, Group 4, Group 5, Group 6, that show the different agencies that supposedly by certain dates, 2014, 16, 18, 20, and 22, the groups that were supposed to be.
Where is this?
On 6R, the last page of this on the back of 1584.
I see. Okay. It's Group 2 is the next one? Okay. Is there any discussion? Senator Dahl.
Madam Chair, and it does say on our talking points, $278 million reduction for the biennium. So basically, Senator Rest, we have created a sunset commission to review the effectiveness of agencies and commissions, and what we really have determined is that the sunset commission is an unnecessary, bureaucratic, ineffective group itself. Is that a fair way to say it, or it's unnecessary? Or
Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, Senator Dahl, if that certainly can be your opinion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scalzi.
Thank you. I voted for the Sunset Commission when it first came up because it seemed to make some sense. And Senator Anderson, I think you were in the House at the same time. I thought, well, okay, let's take a look at this. But then as they progressed, and they did meet a lot, they met a lot, used a lot of staff time. Every one of these departments had to participate and provide personnel for it. And then when the report was, we were all sort of discouraged because when the report came through, there was only one little commission that was sunsetted, and they had wanted to be sunsetted in the first place. I think it was some small veterans committee group. And then the combative sports, which we thought, well, we can save, I think it was like $75,000. It wasn't a great deal of money. But we wanted to have a finger in the pie, combative sports, because there are could be dangerous things that happen with that little commission. So, but we didn't even sunset that. We rolled that into Department of Labor and Industry. So there's still a state finger on that troublesome group of participating sports. I mean, they get pretty bloody at times, and there should be some sort of a control on it. We felt that. But then after I saw how much money we spent, how much time we spent, and it looked to me like micromanagement. And then I voted to repeal it. So I've come full circle, and I share what you're saying. Representative Nelson was the one that, and he spent hours on this commission, hours. And they came up with one which wanted to be sunsetted.
Mr. Hubinger, I thought I saw you. Yes, Alcon Senator Dahl, but there he is. You're behind Senator Dahl. Okay, could you tell us, were you involved in staffing the Sunset Commission? And tell us a little bit more about that. Senator Dahl, did you have a comment?
Yes, Madam Chair. I was just curious, as I see Mr. Noble's in the room, would it be safe to say that the legislative auditor has or does a lot of this type of oversight and kind of digging into the efficiencies or the inefficiencies of many of these agencies?
Madam Chair, Senator Dahl, as directed by the Legislative Audit Commission and by statute.
And we can bring him up next. Talk about that. Mr. Hubinger.
Madam Chair and members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. Under the Sunset Commission statute, our office was required to provide administrative support for the work of the commission. And there was no appropriation for that commission at the time. So we garnered support from Senate Counsel and House Research and other staff to provide the staff necessary to support the work of the commission. They did the review of the reports that were provided by the agencies that were required by the Sunset Commission and helped in providing some analysis and helped in fashioning the final recommendations.
I guess we don't have the final recommendations in front of us.
I have
And how many, can you give us kind of an estimate, although I heard a little summary of the final recommendations that the combat exports, we were just talking about that. Can you give us an idea of how often they met? Was it over a two-year period or was it just last year?
Madam Chair, they met, I think, nine times in a period from November through February. To hear the testimony from each of the affected agencies and to develop
this year or the year before?
I'm sorry, the year before.
The year before, okay. And then during the election year, they didn't meet at all?
Madam Chair, the cycle of the commission is to meet in two-year periods. So if the commission were not abolished, it would start its work later this fall and make its recommendations by February of next year.
Okay, got it. Any, Mr. Nobles? Question about legislative auditor.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, Jim Nobles, legislative auditor, and the Office of the Legislative Auditor and the Legislative Audit Commission was created 40 years ago to strengthen legislative oversight and accountability in state government. It is a bipartisan, bicameral commission. The commission appoints the legislative auditor. And we do a variety of things, and I've been before this committee, and I think most of you around this table know our work. We are the auditor of state government. We audit the state's financial statements. We audit a lot of departments and agencies. We also do investigations of allegations of inappropriate use of state resources. And then, as Senator Rest indicated, we also have a program evaluation division, and I think you've all been involved recently in helping us decide on the agenda for the program evaluations this next year, the year we're in. And I would say that the difference between the Sunset approach and the Legislative Audit Commission approach, there are several. One is that the Legislative Audit Commission, I think by long tradition and through many chairs, including Representative Rest, but others as
Senators,
well.
No.
Senators, sorry. Has always taken the view that the Legislative Audit Commission and the Office of the Legislative Auditor is here to support the work of the standing committees. And so the Legislative Audit Commission really only commissions our work and will often hear a report, but then that is turned over to the standing committees. And I must say that we do appear before many standing committees and work with legislators individually to implement our recommendations. The other thing I would note, Madam Chair, is that one of the differences is that the Sunset approach typically around the country and as it was designed in Minnesota looked at organizations, the Combative Sports Commission, and then this year they were going to look at the Department of Human Services. The approach of the Legislative Auditor's Office in evaluating is to look at individual pieces and parts and programs. That's really where the money is spent and where we need to examine the effectiveness and the efficiency. And it's interesting, Madam Chair, that you do have the Commissioner of Human Services here because we do a lot of work over there, And in fact, I brought with me, just to sort of illustrate this, the fact that if the Sunset Commission or standing committees were going to review the Department of Human Services this year, which is what they were mandated to do, these are the reports, recent reports, of the Office of the Legislative Auditor that they could dig into, whether it's Senator Lori's committee, Senator Sharon's committee. So the work is here. Mm-hmm. The difference, I think, is where should this work occur within the legislative branch? And that's obviously up to the House and Senate to decide. Mm-hmm. So we are, I would say, indifferent as to whether there is a Sunset Commission or not. We actually did a fair amount of work for the Sunset Commission when they were reviewing, for example, the Combative Sports Commission. The report that was done for them came from the Office of the Legislative Auditor. Another big issue that the Sunset Commission got involved with was the Board of Medical Practice. A lot of controversy that the Sunset Commission considered. But the Sunset Commission could only hear testimony from people. Mm-hmm. And what was really needed was somebody to dig deep into the internal operations of the Board of Medical Practice and with the authority to look at all the data, all the files, including not public data, to really determine whether or not the Board of Medical Practice had a due diligence process for considering complaints. Mm-hmm. And we issued that report as well in October of 2012 mm-hmm. For consideration not only by the Sunset Commission but the Standing Committee as well. So, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Questions for Mr. Noble.
Senator Madam Chair, Mr. Noble, thank you for being here. The Sunset Commission, are they looking for efficiency? Are they looking for things that are happening illegal? Are they looking for waste? What would be the areas that they're looking for?
Madam Chair,
Mr. Noble,
Senator Hall, they're really not looking at illegalities. That really is within the purview of the legislative auditor, and we do a good deal of that. And just recently, for example, we received an allegation that a grant to a nonprofit organization to run a program for eliminating health disparities in the minority community, that money was being misused. $400,000 to $500,000 had been granted. We received that allegation, and we investigated it and found, indeed, the money was not being used properly, was being used for personal expenses, and we worked with the FBI on that investigation, and that report is in front of the U.S. attorney currently. So that is not what the Sunset Commission did. They, again, I think had the central question, should an organization, be it the Department of Human Services, the Combative Sports Commission, the Board of Medical Practice, should it continue to exist? Because the Sunset Law puts a trigger in the law and says unless renewed, unless reauthorized, this organization will be eliminated. I might add that you can pull apart the two elements of the Sunset approach, the trigger for something to go away or be reauthorized, and having a Sunset Commission. And in fact, I think as many of you know, you do put sunsets on a variety of things. For example, I think I was before this committee recently talking about Job Z. You put a sunset on Job Z. So you have done sunsetting, and then it comes before the standing committee to consider whether or not you want to reauthorize Job Z or a board or commission or whatever. Again, the idea was that all of this would go before this Sunset Commission rather than the standing committees. That, I think, is really where the controversy is.
Thank you, Mr. Noble. So, Senator Hall, if you look on 2R at the very bottom, 3D.07 is commission duties, and then on 3R is the criteria for review, and then it does say recommendations if it should be abolished, continued, or reorganized.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do we have any folks that have been on the commission before? Give testimony whether it, from their point of view, was something that we should eliminate or whether they felt it was doing its job?
I don't believe we do. Mr. Hubinger, who was on it from the Senate? We mentioned Senator Bonhoff.
The members that served on the last commission were Senators Daley, Gazelka, Perry, and Bonhoff.
Daley, Gazelka, and Perry. So two are gone.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, I apologize. This kind of came up at the last minute. And since it wasn't really, Senator Rest, it's a bill she's doing as a favor to a House member. We weren't able to gather the people that we should have gathered. Yeah, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did hear from Senator Gazelka, who had some strong feelings why this should continue on. I was hoping he could be here. I didn't really talk to him lately to see when, but my thought is anytime we can, and again, the auditor I think does a fabulous job, but he digs really deep. I think sometimes it's looking at some of these departments, whether big or small. I think it's always important for us to look for effectiveness, efficiencies, and to make sure there's no waste. I see this to be a good thing. It's been around how many years now? Anybody know?
The Sunset Commission?
Yeah.
One year.
Just the 1 year.
Yeah. Just one cycle. Right. And so we're reviewing whether we should sunset the sunset.
Yeah. Madam Chair?
Senator Anderson. I'm sorry, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What happens to all of the sunsets that have been in place? Do they just then get sunsetted? All the groups?
Ms. James.
Madam Chair and members, we have sunsets in place throughout statutes for lots of agencies and organizations, and those would all still continue to exist. But the sunsets that were put in place in the Sunset Act would be repealed along with everything else. So the automatic sunsetting, for example, of the Department of Human Services would be gone. If you repeal this chapter.
Right. We don't typically sunset entire agencies. There have certainly been reorganizations and mergers in the past, sometimes by executive order, sometimes by the legislature, or big changes like the Office of Technology, Minute, I think they're calling themselves now, being put in charge of a broader portfolio of technology issues. But the sunsets normally historically have been small advisory committees or, things that you think might have a purpose for a few years. We've had some that have come through here, and that when their job is done, when they submit their report that they're assigned to do, then we sunset them. And that certainly is something that we look at with our guidelines about whether we should have a sunset or not on this new committee or whatever. I think that, to me, the idea of this is one thing that we probably don't do is we do not go back and look, should we have a Department of Health or should we have a Department of Education? Even the Education Committee has been changed over the years. There were a few years where a lot of the child care stuff was moved, I think, into the Department of Education. It was called the Department of Children, Family, and something.
Learning.
Learning. Thank you. Remember that. And then a few years later, that didn't work so well, so it was changed back. And those duties were moved back into the Department of Human Services around
And Johnson. Madam Chair, and that came about through review by standing committees.
Right.
And that's their job.
Right. So the point is, it's not that we never do that. We have in the past looked at that. Governors have looked at that. What was abolished? The Department of Employee Relations? Was merged into MMB as a kind of an efficiency measure. We by constitution, eliminated the Office of Treasurer, State Treasurer, decided that those duties would be done by MMB. So we have done some very significant changes in the structure of state government, just us as legislators, during our regular session. Senator Anderson, you had your hand up.
No, that's
okay.
Fine.
So, Madam, go ahead.
Senator Horace Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am, there is an issue with respect to the process of reports of some of the different groups that are under the umbrella of this provision that I get concerned about. And I think that I would like to have the commitment of the chair to work on some of those reviews, because part of, I think, what I would like to see in the future is figuring out whether or not, you know, the provisions that exist in legislation for these different groups actually are sufficient to review the outcome of the work that they do with respect to what the legislature asked them to do. So sometimes I feel like some of these groups, obviously, you know, are voluntary groups. You know, some of these boards are voluntary groups that have been appointed to help us with, you know, figuring out strategies and missions and work that needs to be done. But others are not. Other groups, you know, are agencies of the state that have advisory committees that are voluntary, but the agencies themselves receive funding. So I would like to see, Madam Chair, how we can review some of that, because the sunset provision allows us to review what's going on. You know, it just, you know, we come back to it, find out, you know, if the work is relevant, if this is happening. And when we remove that, then we don't have that opportunity to conduct that periodic review. I believe. I don't know.
Well, I think, Senator Torres-Ray, there still will be lots of advisory groups and things that are sunsetted. Mm-hmm. It's only the areas that are affected by the sunset law, which I think you can look on page 6R, that gives kind of the series of groups. And these are actually kind of standard traditional agencies, most of them. I mean, and you're right, we can go ahead and, oh, all advisory groups connected with all these agencies. And a lot of those advisory groups do have their own separate sunsets, which I probably will not be impacted by this, by the repeal.
And also reports.
But your point is well taken, that that we could provide more oversight and require more accountability.
Madam Chair, if I may ask a question. So I hope that I understand this correctly. So the groups affected by this sunset provision are the ones that are listed, since that's getting out, in the subdivision 2, group 2, and 6R, in the page 6R, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the
that's
groups
correct.
That, yeah,
right.
Okay. So that's the repeal, and that's precisely, for me, Madam Chair, what I'm trying to say is that I do have, I would like to ask, Madam Chair, mm-hmm. to have a close review of the outcome of the work in these organizations, because this is significant. I would like to know, you know, maybe next time. I'm not saying, you know, now we have finished the work of the committee, but I would like to get your commitment to further review some of the work that is taking place in here, the outcomes of the work, and how we could continue to support their efforts on things that are working. Or
so one thing we did not do in this committee, we just didn't have the time to do it, is to look at everything that was in our jurisdiction, right, and have those agencies come in and give us an update on what their work is. And that certainly is something that would be very appropriate for us to do next year, which is typically the second year of the session is a heavier focus on policy.
Chair, if I could just add to that, which I think
Mr.
is
Nobles.
Very relevant. First of all, I would say that the Legislative Audit Commission, as I think all of you know, mm-hmm. has always had a very open process to ask members, and particularly committees, what would you like us to review that would help support your work? So if any of these boards or commissions or advisory groups are ones you want reviewed, now, we just went through that process, and so it's pretty much closing for this year. But I think you will all acknowledge that one of the most controversial, for various reasons, of those groups have been the so-called councils of color.
Mm-hmm.
And they were reviewed by the Sunset Commission. The Sunset Commission decided to continue them. But because of the continuing controversy, and because I think, again, you really sometimes, for good, strong legislative oversight and accountability, you need to go beyond the testimonials that you hear from this table. You really need staff to go deep into those organizations and spend some real time with those organizations and their constituencies. And that's what we're going to do with the Councils of Color. That was one of the proposals that was made by legislators that was approved just yesterday by the evaluation subcommittee, and it'll be approved, I think, by the full Legislative Audit Commission. So, Madam Chair and members, next year you will have, I think, some very in-depth
and a report like that,
and potentially quite controversial and sensitive evaluations of the four councils of color, Asian Pacific, Chicano Latino, Black Minnesotans, and the Indian Affairs Council. So, and I think sometimes, and this was expressed the other night when the House Committee considered the sunset legislation, that sometimes you, as the legislature, given the sensitivity of some of the issues, for example, around councils of color, need some independent examination to be brought back to you. And so, again, I think it ties in very much to the work that you'll be doing that will have those reports for you.
And I certainly can would agree to tell my staff to be on the lookout when the Office of Legislative Auditor does a review, especially one that we've requested, to make sure that we have Mr. Nobles and his staff come in and present their findings so that if there's legislation that's required as a result of that, and I know Senator Rest was always very good about that when there were recommendations and making sure that then the legislature did follow through and consider those recommendations in legislation.
And Madam Chair, you know, with the on the State Department's finance division and on any finance division I sit on, I bring the financial audits. James is shaking her head. And I ask the agencies to whether for an update and whether they have followed through on the findings that usually in control and compliance that the legislative auditor has found. And the reason for that is that they come asking for us to fund them. And then they do things in internal controls that or don't do things that end up then costing the state millions of dollars because employees have inappropriate access. There's no oversight. And we've had examples in the Department of Human Services and in the Department of Revenue where an employee has stolen over $1 million. And so we need to make sure that the agencies that we fund are held accountable by the legislature. So when those reports come out on the financial audits and the compliance and control audits, I would advise you to pick it up, bring it to whatever finance division that you serve on and ask them to explain themselves. And particularly when there are repeat findings, when it's a second time around and they still haven't made a correction. That's our job, and they're accountable to us because they're asking us for money to fund their agencies.
Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you. You know, I don't want to belabor this because we're going to get into it, but Mr. Nobles, I do appreciate what you just said, and I want to make absolutely sure there is a fundamental review that needs to happen in legislation about these organizations. And I think Senator Perry began that work a couple of years ago. And I think he had an important message, which was that what is in legislation, what is described in legislation, and how that matches kind of the work that they do and how we measure that outcome is so unclear. So we ask organizations, you know, go out and do your best. You know, there's achievement gap. There's a lot of disparities. Here's some money. God bless you. Just give advice. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that they're supposed to have a work plan, that they work with us and they produce an outcome that is helpful to this body, to the governor? Do we act on it? Is that work reviewed by somebody? Does it make a difference that they went out and said there is an achievement gap, and we said, yeah, there is, and then we go back and forth. We spend a couple of $1 million doing that, and I am not okay with that. I am not, because this is taxpayers' money. So although I appreciate, obviously, we fought to put that legislation in place several years ago. I wasn't personally, because these councils have been in place longer than I've been in this country. But I do feel that there is a measure of accountability that doesn't exist, and we need to figure out How do we incorporate that, but how we help these councils and these individuals who volunteer, the boards are volunteers, they don't get paid, to help us do the work, make sure that the staff is able and capable of doing the work that they were assigned to do. I think that is a very important work, and it needs to happen.
And Madam Chair, if I could just quickly comment, because I know you want to move on, but I would just cite a couple of examples where we have done evaluations and we have come back to you and said, it is very hard to know whether this program is effective because the statute authorizing it is so unclear as to what the legislature intends and wants. And so part of the process of oversight is for us to come back to you and tell you, frankly, that. And because you've given us a degree of independence, we do that, even when sometimes it sort of steps on toes and may be sensitive. But Representative or Senator Torres-Rae, integration revenue, a very important program that we went out and evaluated a number of years ago, and our main finding was the people who are supposed to implement this don't know what they're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And so we came back and said, please clarify in the law. That's the first step towards having an effective program, being clear about what it is we're trying to accomplish. And the legislature's been working on that for a number of years. And, again, you have the Commissioner of Human Services here. And in our recent review of state-operated human services, we said it's not clear in the law what the biggest part of the Department of Human Services is supposed to be accomplishing. A very unclear mission statement and set of objectives. And I might say, too, that one of the important impacts we have is in the executive branch on commissioners, like the one you're going to hear for, they take these reports very seriously. And I think she's going to ask you for some resources to move forward with some of our recommendations. And Senator Rosen did great work when we came back with a report on the Renewable Energy Fund, because we found that, the use of that fund had gone far astray from its original intent. I think the intent was fairly clear there, but frankly, it was being used for purposes that had nothing to do with renewable energy. And she took, and with support from many of you, took action to try to rein that back in and get it more focused.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In everything I'm hearing, it sounds like we need this commission just to continue to be looking at the different groups, agencies. But I notice we have one of our commissioners here. I wonder if we could get a advice from her, whether she thinks these are good for us to continue.
She up next. And the Department of Human Services would be up next to be reviewed by this commission. Commissioner Jessen. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Hall.
Just to identify yourself.
Oh, I'm Lucinda Jessen, Commissioner of the Department of Human Services. As I understand your question, you're asking me kind of my thoughts on the Sunset Commission.
Right.
Madam Chair, members, I didn't come to this committee for this purpose, so let me just kind of give you the caveat that I'm just sharing some of my initial impressions, and I'm not here trying to speak on behalf of the governor, because he certainly signed the legislation that that created this commission. I would say, though, that I think that kind of having sunset provisions or a sunset commission for advisory councils, for, you know, kind of some of these smaller things, you know, councils or advisory task forces, I think is probably it's more appropriate for those smaller agencies. That I think for larger agencies, the work the legislative auditor does is very important. And as legislative auditor Nobles just said, then he's looking at kind of separate programs and doing it kind of more by program or by function instead of just by agency, which I don't think you can dig as deep, and I don't think that works as well. And I'm not trying to suggest some, you know, that a sunset commission is the best way to look at even the smaller councils, but I do think that just personally that having sunset provisions on some of those and taking those second looks, that does make a lot of sense, whichever way that you think most appropriate to do that.
Thank you.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was going to ask Mr. Nobles a question if he could, if he's still available.
Thank you, Commissioner. We'll have you back in a minute. Mr. Nobles.
Mr. Nobles, you indicated that you had lots, and you just showed a packet of studies that your audit commission has done. And it was referenced earlier that a lot of time was put in by the Sunset Commission studying these agencies. How much time does your groups of people that are assigned to whatever advisory group or whatever it is, how much time do you, on an average basis, put in, your members put in studying or digging in and doing a lot of investigation on these particular agencies or advisory groups?
You mean Mr. Nobles and his staff? His staff? Not the audit commission, but his staff.
His staff.
Okay.
Chair and Senator Anderson, it really varies widely. For example, looking at the state-operated human services unit in the Department of Human Services took 6 or 8 months of in-depth evaluation because they run many group homes. They run Anoka Regional Treatment Center. They run the State Security Hospital at St. Peter. So a very important, diverse organization, just the state-operated services, with many complex programs and issues. So that took considerable amount of time. But, for example, when I sent people to take a look at the Board of Medical Practice, we spent, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks there doing an examination, which typically will be looking at files. We do a great deal of in-depth examination of files, data, do a significant amount of interviewing of people. So it will range widely. Obviously, some organizations are very small and contained, but some are very large, very complex, and take a significantly larger amount of time. So it varies a great deal.
Any other questions? Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No question. And again, I'm going to be voting for this particular bill. From what I've heard here today is the standing committees could do more if they wanted to in terms of oversight, that the standing committees typically take testimony, just as we've seen. That's really what the commission, Sunset Commission, has been doing. The fact that we have a very able and excellent legislative auditor and staff that can actually do more at our direction. And I look at the cost, $278 million.
No.
Biennium.
It's 278,000 a biennium for the commission. I think you were looking at something that was cumulative.
Over 20 years. By eliminating the Sunset Commission, the state saves $278 million, reduces unnecessary bureaucracy.
I think that's a cumulative number.
Okay.
Like if we kept doing this for the next 20 years. Yeah. Otherwise, maybe it was accidentally. Oh, I see. It was supposed to be million.
Not million.
That's different. That is different.
That's very different.
I would
a lot
agree
of money.
With you otherwise.
But how in the world were they spending that?
It'd be gone yesterday.
It's cumulative. How
I get it.
All right. Well, Madam Chair, $278,000. I still wonder if $250,000 is worth that. But
then Senator Dahl would move that Senate File 1584 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance. Is there any more discussion?
Madam Chair, you had a I have in my packet an amendment.
It's not to this bill.
Oh, it's not. Sorry. No, I was confused.
Okay. It's the other issue on the agenda.
Okay.
Okay, any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Rust. Then, was there a different motion we were supposed to make? You told me there was a different motion. That's fine? All right. Because we have actual bill here. So, all right. Commissioner Jessen.
Where is this?
Okay, Commissioner, so we have before us KC0016, and this is a request by your department, and the request is before the Health and Human Services Budget Division, but it does impact us because whenever you're adding, I guess whenever you're adding commissioners, you're supposed to come to our committee. Commissioner.
Madam Chair, members, I'm Lucinda Jessen, Commissioner of the Department of Human Services, and I really appreciate you fitting in, making the time to hear this. I'm hoping to just give you a little background about why we're having the request, which will include a little background about our state-operated services, which is...
It's a nice segue.
It's a very nice segue. So the amendment before you asks that as commissioner, I have the ability to appoint up to two deputy commissioners in statute now. I have the ability to have one deputy commissioner, and that's Deputy Commissioner Ann Berry, who is holding that job at this time. And I wanted to give you a little background about why I think this is necessary and helpful at this time. You know, as most of you all know, and I know several of you have or do serve on the Health and Human Services Committee, is one of them, a large part of the department is our state-operated services. And while it's a small part of our budget overall, half of our employees work for state-operated services. And as Jim Nobles explained to you earlier, this is where we serve about 10,000 clients a year, everything from dental clinics to security, people who are at Security Hospital, Anoka, group homes all around our state, a number of 16-bed subacute psychiatric hospitals. So it really provides a lot of services to people who are very much in need of them. And while I want to be clear that I think our employees who work in this area work very hard overall and have some of the hardest jobs in state government. I mean, these are often clients that are very difficult to serve. Some are very aggressive. A number of people with serious and persistent mental illnesses with grave developmental disabilities. Having said that, I would say based upon, you know, the last little over 2 years since I become commissioner, I would say different parts of the department, this is the one with the most challenges. It really is, and I don't know that you really need me to go into them all, but you can also read about them in the Legislative Auditor's Report. But that was my assessment, really, you know, just after the first few months when I became commissioner. One of the things I noticed coming in was at the time when I joined the department, you had, and remember, these are 3,000 employees that provide critical services all over the state. It could be a department in its own, but it had a governing board and a CEO that reported to an assistant commissioner, that reported to the deputy commissioner, that then reported to me. So one of the things we first did was really reconfigure the governing board, which we've since actually kind of disbanded, but had at least the CEO directly report to the deputy commissioner, because we really saw the need for much more direct oversight of this important part of state government. And what we would propose to do, which is very consistent with what the legislative auditor is suggesting, is have one deputy, and now my deputy commissioner spends about half her time directly overseeing our direct care services. But we think it's more important to actually have more accountability and more oversight of that part of the department. When you want to make change, and fundamental change is called for in this part of the department, I think you need strong leadership who's going to make sure that that change takes place. And sometimes we would see that change we would direct wasn't happening as quickly. And so we really want to eliminate some of the kind of middle layers of management in this. So while we are asking to add a deputy commissioner, this is, I think, actually eliminating some of those layers that are getting in between the direction that we want to go in state-operated services to making sure that direction is implemented in the many employees who are providing these services. So our proposal is to have one deputy commissioner that is just responsible for our direct care services, and another deputy, but be able to have a second deputy that works with me to oversee the rest of DHS, which is, of course, a lot to oversee with our chemical and mental health services, children's and family services, health care as well. But so I think that is consistent with the Legislative Auditor's Report, which came out in late February. The Legislative Auditor said, you know, overall said that the department should continue to provide these direct services, but with a clear mission, as Mr. Nobles alluded to, and more effective resolution of ongoing problems. you know, there are many ongoing problems that are cited here. We agree with the legislative auditor's recommendation, but we think we need, you know, even stronger oversight to make sure that those get implemented quickly and well. I will note that a couple of other findings from the OLA report which support this. The legislative auditor found that past human services commissioners had created and maintained a governance structure that muddled accountability, and that until recently, the top DHS officials hadn't given sufficient attention to state-operated services. He notes that, as commissioner, I did recently elevate the oversight of this and resigned responsibility to the deputy commissioner, but he also states in his report that even with the deputy commissioner spending half her time overseeing this important part of our work, that given the past history of challenges in this area, that it will remain an ongoing challenge for our top leaders to devote the attention needed and required by a system of direct care. And he suggests that perhaps having state-operated services be at agency separate from DHS, or having a deputy that's only responsible for that, makes sense, and I really believe that as well. And that's why I would like to have Deputy Commissioner Barry spend her time overseeing this, our proposal, and that would enable us to eliminate the position of CEO so that we have really collapsed, taking two layers of management between the Deputy Commissioner and the oversight of these important functions, as opposed to when I took office.
So, Commissioner, you would have Deputy Commissioner Barry take over the state-operated services, and then you would hire a separate deputy commissioner that would provide the oversight of everything else.
Madam Chair, my plan is there would be a separate deputy. Chuck Johnson, who is our chief financial and chief operating officer right now, I would just have him be the deputy commissioner, which would fit well with what he's already doing. But I think that having the title of deputy commissioner, it is easier for him to really stand in for me, to work with me, and I think that would be very appropriate. So once again, this is not about adding FTEs.
I was going to ask you that. It's not an additional FTE.
It's not, and actually because we're...
It's a structural thing.
It's a structural thing, and actually because we're eliminating the position of the CEO, we end up actually reducing number of FTEs, but I think that having two deputy commissioners really enables us to give much more oversight from the commissioner's office to a part of the agency that frankly needs it very much.
Okay. All right. Any questions for the commissioner? Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, I'm just, I can't believe that you have to come and work with us to ask us how to do your job. Of course, we need to support you in doing this. It makes total sense that you make administrative decisions this way. I don't even know why we have this provision in the legislation, so that you have to come and do this in order to do your business. So I just can't believe it. But I guess my question to you is, so the current commissioner positions, that the assistant commissioner positions, don't allow you to do this, because I know you have kind of the assistant commissioner and the program administrator. So could you tell us why the deputy commissioner, not that, I obviously understand that you as an administrator are perfectly capable of deciding that, but I'm just curious about kind of why your assistant commissioners in Chalk in this position should not be able to do the
What's
work.
What's the difference between a deputy and assistant
commissioner?
Uh-huh. Okay. Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Torres Wright, thank you for the question. So the way I would envision the structure is we'd have one deputy, so reporting directly to me, who's just responsible for our state-operated services. Now, yes, I could have an assistant commissioner do that, but then we're then assistant commissioners, and there's a layer of having a deputy commissioner. So then coming
so
to me.
The assistant, then the deputy, then the commissioner.
Right. Okay. And so what I'm really trying to do is to elevate this part of the agency, which has been, frankly, buried for many years within DHS, and to elevate it to a higher level so that the deputy commissioner and I have a lot more direct oversight over it. There would not be assistant commissioners over – it's not like there would be then assistant commissioners under Deputy Commissioner Barry. We have a plan where we'd have one administrator just who's overseeing our forensic area, one over our mental health area, and one over our community services, but those people would not have assistant commissioner titles. Our assistant commissioners in the other part of the department would, continue to then report to the deputy commissioner and to me.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other questions? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wonder if we could ask Mr. Noble if he could respond, if he would, since she brought him up. I'd like to hear, is she representing what you would advise us in that department?
Madam Chair, Senator Hall, yes. I would commend this report to you sometime. It's detailed, and but it really is a very critical report, not of this commissioner, but of years of persistent and serious problems in this aspect of the Department of Human Services. And just, I guess, consistent with the commissioner's point about the need for a deputy to look over this, this is an organization, just this unit, is an organization that has about 3,500 employees. This is an organization that runs many group homes in addition to the others. This is an organization that is dealing with some of the most vulnerable and potentially some dangerous because of the security hospital. People that the state of Minnesota, some of these people are civilly committed to this commissioner. And what we found, as the commissioner noted, was that over the decades, the governance structure for this aspect of the department has been confusing, and oversight for these services has been woefully insufficient. Now, what the commissioner did, as all of these problems started to, frankly, be more visible, particularly at the security hospital, she took Ann Berry, who I think all of you know, former commissioner of health, an incredibly gifted, I think, administrator. But, I think if you're in, we're not talking about personalities, but Ann Berry is that person now. And you need somebody like Ann Berry spending all of her time, frankly, on something that in state government is in and of itself a large department, 3,500 employees. We have a lot of commissioners running departments that are far, far smaller than that. So if any department in state government, the Department of Human Services, deserved two commissioners to look over the vast array of responsibilities, it's this one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Senator Anderson.
Thank you. You mentioned Deputy Berry would be over state-operated services, and that you're looking at another state deputy. Is that for direct care services, or am I getting them mixed up here?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson. So what I plan to do, if I have two deputy commissioners, is to have Deputy Commissioner Berry oversee our direct services, which would be all of what's now called state-operated services, plus our sex offender treatment program. So those are the two where we provide direct care and direct treatment. Then the other parts of the department, which I would have a separate deputy work with me to oversee the rest of the department, which is substantial. That's the rest of the department that oversees all of our public health programs, so our Medicaid program, Minnesota Care, all of our children and family services, so all of our public assistance programs, child welfare programs, continuing care, so our aging and disability services, as well as our our mental health and chemical dependency services. So those are really all policy divisions, but also policy divisions that run our public programs, our public health programs. So that's kind of the, I would see those two. And as I think I tried to say, while our direct care services or our state-operated services have, you know, more than half of our employees, it's a small part of our budget, and so sometimes doesn't get the attention, you know, and perhaps that's, you know, just compared to the Medicaid budget. But I think it is just so critical. As Jim Noble said, we really need to change course there.
Okay.
Senator Anderson.
Ms. Jessen, I've struggled for the last couple of maybe 8 years, 10 years, I'm not sure. I have several people that are doing home care or home, they're overseeing people that are mentally challenged and have and they have a group home of sorts. But it seems like they're always running into conflict between the county and the state. And it seems like they can't get an answer from the county, and then when they come to the state, they can't get the and the answer goes back, and they point it back at the county, and the county points it back at the state. And just it's very frustrating when I get several group home providers like this, and then they all of a sudden now they're going to take away the provider's license. And when the care provider can show through state statute, there's no reason to do that. And then all of a sudden the state goes, no, that's the county. And I'm just wondering, where is the fine line here where there is an accountability to my constituents who are doing, I mean, to take, I have a disabled child myself, and to take care of that individual, it's a monumental task. And then for someone who wants to take care of three or four in their home, my word, they're saints. They have to be. And then for some agency to say, well, because you didn't do this and didn't do that, and then to prove beyond a doubt that they didn't do this, they're going to take the license away from them. I'm concerned about where, and maybe this report that Mr. Nobles did, maybe there's something in there that I can glean, but I'm just struggling with the fact that I get every year or every three, four times a year, I get reports from people who are doing, I say, saint work, taking care of these type of people, and all of a sudden, one agency or another, whether it's on the local level or on the state level, nobody can seem to come to an agreement because they all blame one another for something that should be plain. Can you help me?
Commissioner Jessen.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson. First of all, I think probably what you're talking about is our private providers. If they are, which is different than the public providers of group home services, which in our state operated services. So I'm going to assume that you're talking about private providers here. You know, I think that there sometimes are, you know, is that temptation very clearly between counties and the state to say, I mean, because while we have different responsibilities, you know, it's easy when people are you know, asking hard questions to point fingers. I would say, though, that, you know, when people reach our office, you know, we're pretty good about picking up the phone and calling the counties and sorting it out. So if there's concerns, you know, that's our first reaction is to try and work it out with the county. If, you know, people come to us about that, you know, the license, you know, I would say, though, that, you know, a lot of the licensing laws, it's not that licensors just go out and make this up. A lot of that is written into statute. You know, and to where the licensors, and sometimes the licensors are county licensors, you know, and that's a matter of statute. And for some providers, it's the state, you know, that go out. But sometimes we just oversee the counties in that role. But the legislature is pretty clear about the standards the licensors look for. So it's not just an issue of, you know, of who's the person who has the responsibilities of the county or the state. It's also kind of looking at the end of the day, what are the standards the legislature has in place that they're trying to enforce?
So, Commissioner, you have a legislative liaison, and would that be somebody that Senator Anderson could go to help sort out these issues with his constituents, figuring out who is responsible?
Absolutely, and Amy Delbo is with me today, so she could help put you in the right, in touch with the right person.
Maybe you
person
could speak to Senator Anderson and see if you could help him with this issue, or know, at least know when it comes up again who to call for your constituent. Okay, any other comments then? Then I have a motion if someone would like to offer it. Senator Wicklin? Okay, Senator Wicklin moves that a provision styled as KC0016 be recommended to be included in the Health and Human Services Omnibus Bill. Any discussion on that motion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. We will transmit that information to the Health and Human Services Finance Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't think there's any other business to come before the committee, and hopefully we won't be meeting again this year, and we'll see you then in this committee next year, unless we have interim meetings, which, you know, if any of you feel like we need to have an interim meeting on an issue, just please let me know, and we can certainly do that.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Hall.
Thank you for a good year.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed the committee. All right. Meeting is adjourned.